I like that. Let me turn that over so that don't distract me. Right. So I hope you guys have had a good week. We're continuing in our series, The Keys to a Blessed Life, the 8 Beatitudes. This one is entitled, God Blesses a Heart of Integrity. And this series is talking about 8 things to being blessed by God. And our you ever notice our culture is obsessed with image? Yeah, it's obsessed with image. If you're considered, what we'll do? We'll do something while he's behind me. You better not be doing nothing with. If you're considered, if you're beautiful, you're considered bright and the best, which leaves a lot of y'all out. But you know what? The Bible says God could care less how you look. God isn't into appearance. He could care less about achievements. God could care less about accomplishments, acquisitions. God even isn't interested in how educated we are, or how wealthy we are, or how popular we are, or how famous we are. You know what God cares about? Your heart. He cares about your character. He cares about the real you. At the top of your outline, it says this in 1 Samuel. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Well, today is the 6th beatitude. It says this. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. What does that mean, they will see God? Well, what that means is those whose hearts are pure will see God up close. They will experience his presence. The pure in heart will feel the very, very power of God. And they get to know the purpose of God for their lives and the plans that he has for them, this peace of God. What I believe it means is also is that God is their friend. The pure in heart is a friend of God. Well, the pure in heart, the word for pure in heart today that we call it is integrity. Integrity. What does it mean to have integrity? Well, I'm going to tell you what it doesn't mean. Integrity doesn't mean that you're sinless. Integrity doesn't mean that you're perfect. It doesn't mean that you don't make mistakes. If you have to be sinless to have integrity, then no one has integrity. God is more interested in the direction of your heart than the sins you commit. He's more interested in your attitude, you know, than your action. God's more interested in why you do what you do instead of what you do. That make any sense at all? He really is. Because the Bible's full of people who did the right thing, but with the wrong motivation. And God says, that really don't count. But it's also full of leaders that didn't do the right thing all the time, but God looked at them and said, you're okay. But he's more interested in the direction of your heart. We don't have to look far to see that with King David. You know, King David messed up a lot. I mean, he messed up a lot. He messed up more than I did. But God says, he's a man after my own heart. He knew David's heart and his direction of it was to become like his. David wanted to be like him, but he made some mistakes. So what is integrity? In your outline, I want to give you 3 words that describe integrity. The very first word I want you to write in wholeness. Wholeness. Life's not divided up into compartments. It's not segmented. You know, we act this way at work and we do this way. You know, we have a church life, we have a work life, we have a school life, we have a play life, we have a social life, we have a sex life. You know, it's not segmented up like that. It's wholeness. When you segment your life like that, you lack integrity. You lack integrity. Another word I want you to write down there is authenticity. Authenticity. It just means you keep it real. You're not a fake. You're not a phony. You're not copying anybody else. You are exactly who you are. You're it. And you act the same no matter who you're with, good or bad. It's who you are. You don't wear any mask. You're not a hypocrite. The third word, it's actually two words, right down here, unmixed motivation. Which just means unmixed motivation. You do the right thing for the right reasons. You do the right thing for the right reason. You're sincere. You're pure in heart. You're straightforward. You know, when you pray to God, you talk to God, and you're not trying to impress other people. Does that make, you see what I'm saying? It's just you and Him, you know, and because basically we've defined it before too. Integrity is what you are, what you do when other people aren't looking, when they're not around. But it seems like a large part of the world today is more interested in image and reputation. And to be honest with you, God's interested in integrity and character. That's what He's interested in. But reputation is what everybody thinks of you. And integrity is what you really are. God blesses those who have integrity. They get to be friends of God. The Bible says in Proverbs 2, that, or Proverbs 3, that God doesn't like. I think if I remember right, even uses the word, hates a twisted heart. He don't like a twisted heart. You know, this week I want to look at some of the benefits real quick. I'm going to go through these kind of quick, so you have to write fast, and I hope you will. I want to look at some of the benefits. I can't name them all, but I'm going to look at three benefits of a person with integrity. And then I want to look at some ways to develop integrity. Because I wouldn't be a very good teacher if I just gave you some benefits without showing you how to get those. First one, you know, one blessing of integrity is number one, personal confidence. Personal confidence. That just means you're not trying to be a phony all the time. And so you have this different kind of confidence. You know, when you have integrity, you'll be the type of person that other people want to hang out with. You know, they want to be around you because you know who you are, you know where you're going, and you're upfront about your faults. Ain't that the kind of person you like to be around? You know what I'm talking about? That upfront about their faults and know who they are, they're, you know, confident. Proverbs 10:9 says, people with integrity have a firm footing, but those who follow crooked paths will slip and fall. When I have integrity, I'm standing on solid ground. Lack of integrity was like me walking last winter on the ice down the driveway in front of a house. You know, I looked twice my age, and I was taking very short steps, and my hands was out here, you know, I was just glad no one was around to see me. And then I thought I'd made it to the end. I was just walking little steps, never left my feet up off the ground. Bam! Hit the ground. You know what the first thing I did? Check to see if anybody saw me. But I thought, you know, that's kind of what living a life with a lack of integrity is. We're on slippery grounds all the time. We're on slip. Our footing is not firm. We have to, you know, because I've told a lie before. I'll just tell you, I told a lie before. And you know what I found myself having to do? A week later, remember what lie I told so I could cover up for that lie. I couldn't even talk to people with confidence. So integrity gives you confidence. You don't have to remember the lies that you've told. Proverbs 11:3 says this, which is not in the book. Integrity shows us the right way. It says integrity shows us the right direction. And integrity will even show what to do next. You know, integrity helps us to see God's purpose for our life. You want to know what God's purpose for your life is? Live a life of integrity. Number two, another benefit is a lasting legacy. Your greatest legacy is your integrity. It will last generations. We got a bunch of kids around here. That's what you and I want to leave to our kids, is our integrity. Everything else will fall. You know, the money that we made, it'll be lost and spent. You know, our work will be forgotten. The trophies that we won, they'll be in the trash somewhere. Maybe it'll be two or three generations down the road, but they'll be in the trash. But our legacy will last. It will last. Proverbs 27 says this, a righteous person lives on the basis of his integrity. Blessed are his children after he's gone. The choices that you and I make right now, we're passing them on. We're leaving as a legacy. But now, I don't want you feeling bad. Jesus didn't come to condemn you, and I don't either. I want to tell you something. If you're still breathing, there's still time to change. There's still time to change that legacy that you're leaving, because you know why? Your story's not over. As long as your heart is beating, your story is not over. Job, look at what happened to Job. He says, if you pray to God and seek the favor of the Almighty, if you are pure and live with complete integrity, God will rise up and restore your happy home. And though you started with little, you will end with much. Job decided to have integrity. God double blessed him. It's not too late. Some of you are thinking, Jim, I've already messed up too much. No, you ain't. The story ain't over if you're still breathing. I'm telling you. I'll even go so far as to say this. Your greatest act of integrity might be what you do after a loss of integrity. Your greatest act of integrity might be what you do now after you have discovered a loss or a lack of integrity. Number three, the third blessing is rewards in eternity. These last forever. Matthew 25:21, God will say this. When we meet him, he's going to say, well done. You are a good and trusted servant. Because you were faithful with small things, I'll now put you in charge of greater things. Come and share your master's happiness. I want you to focus on two words real quick. Small things. Small things, because that's where the rewards are. A lot of times we think they're in the big moment. I'm telling you, in the big moments of life, usually there's people watching. And it's easy to have integrity when people are watching. But it's in those small moments when no one else is watching. Every small thing. Kind act that you do. You know, if you reject some sort of temptation, it's all rewarded. Those small choices we make today can change our lives now and in heaven. They have eternal rewards. Well, how do you get it? How do you get integrity and what does it look like? David gives us, you know, he was a man after God's own heart, gives us eight characteristics. Look at Psalm 15. I urge you to just really look at it. It says, Lord, who may stay in your sanctuary and live on your holy mountain? The answer was, the one who walks with integrity. All right, if he walks with integrity, there's eight things he does. Number one, he speaks the truth from his heart. Number two, he refuses to slander others with his tongue. He won't listen to gossip. He will not cast a slur on his fellow man. Instead, he honors those who fear the Lord, keeps his promises even when it hurts. He lends his money freely without charging interest and cannot be bribed by money. Whoever does these things will never be shaken. Will never be shaken. Those are the eight characteristics of a life of integrity. Now quickly, I want to give you a checklist of some of the ways to develop integrity. I've showed you the blessings to develop integrity. Six ways. I want you to work at them this week. Number one, the very first thing we can do is by keeping your promises. We can develop integrity by keeping our promises. People of integrity keep their word. If they say they'll do it, they will do it. If they say they will be there, they will be there. Proverbs 25:14 says, people who promise things they never give are like clouds and wind that bring no rain. This is verbal integrity. So I want to ask you, what promise have you made that you haven't kept? What commitment have you made that you haven't kept? Even if the circumstances have changed, if you made a promise, you got to keep your word. You got to keep your word, even if it's not beneficial to you. You got to keep your word, even if it hurts. Even if it hurts. Second, number two, you become a person of integrity by paying your bills. By paying your bills. You may not think this is a big deal, but it's a big deal for God. It's financial integrity. The Bible says over and over that the way you use your money is a test of integrity. Do you spend more money than you make? That's a good question, a good gauge to look at. If you spend more money than you make, that's a lack of integrity. Do you get yourselves in debt for things you can't afford? It's a lack of integrity. If you can't pay them off, it's a lack of integrity. The Bible says that people of integrity pay their bills. Because let me tell you something, it's like keeping a promise. If you sign a note to a lender, you pay it. You sign a promise. You promise. You don't default on loans. You pay off those credit cards. Psalm 37:21 says, the wicked man borrows and never pays back. Bible also says don't defraud the government. Pay your taxes. Romans 13 says the authorities are working for God. Pay what you owe them. Pay your personal and property taxes. I know the government probably wastes our money. And I know they spend more than what comes in. But we don't do that. Not if we have integrity. We don't do that. Number three, we develop integrity by refusing to gossip. Refusing to gossip. This is called relational integrity. You don't talk one way with one group of people and then go to another group of people and talk about them behind their backs. You don't flatter them and butter them up. That's what we call it in Rockmart. Don't be buttering me up. And then cut me off at the knees behind my back. Y'all ever butter somebody up? I don't do it no more, but I used to. And it's something I'm ashamed of. But if you gossip, you lack integrity. And let me tell you something. If you listen to it, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. It is the same thing. Every time you gossip or every time you listen to it, you lack integrity. Proverbs 11:13 says, a gossip can't be trusted with a secret. But someone of integrity won't violate a confidence. Guys, we need men and women who know how to keep a secret and not put it on Facebook. We need men and women who know how to keep a secret and don't tweet about it. Can you keep a secret? That's why it's so important in our small groups that one of the very big rules is that what is said here stays here. Guys, people need a safe place. They need a safe place. They don't need to fear of somebody publishing it on Facebook, tweeting about it. They don't even need to fear of them telling me. What's said in a small group stays in a small group. Can you keep confidence? Number four, to develop integrity, by faithfully tithing. By faithfully tithing. This is spiritual integrity. The Bible says that a test of our integrity is faithfully tithing. Do I trust God in my finances? Do I put Him first? Whatever you put, wherever you put your money first is whatever you consider the most important. Did I say that right? Good, I'm glad some yeses. Because Jesus said, wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's important. Tithing is a test of integrity. Malachi 3, 8 through 10 says, is it right for a person to cheat God? Of course not. You are robbing me, says the Lord. One of my favorite pastors I listen to is Tony Evans. Anybody ever heard of Tony Evans? I love Tony Evans. He was telling a story of what happened to him in church one day. They had a building project going. And the head deacon came. He was a large contributor, big tither, you know, at the church. And he didn't agree with the building project. And he came to Pastor Evans, and he said, I don't like what's going on. I'm going to go ahead and tell you. I'm right up front. My wife and I, we don't like what's going on with this building. And I'm going to tell you what, and Tony Evans said, I'm sorry to hear that. And he said, I'm going to tell you what, if it don't stop, my wife and I are going to stop tithing to the church. Pastor Evans said, well, we ought to pray about this. We need to pray about this. And the deacon said, we sure do. We need to pray now. Tony said, well, let me pray for us. Pray for you and your wife. He said, okay, go ahead. He said, let's pray. Tony Evans said, dear Lord, I pray for so-and-so because he has decided to rob you. He said, I didn't say that. He said, yes, you did. By withholding your full tithe and offerings, bring me the full amount of your tithe to my house. Put me to the test, and you will see that I will open the windows of heaven and pour out so much blessing on you that you won't have enough room to receive it all. It's the only place in the Bible where God says, test me. Test me with your finances. Test me. Isn't that incredible? The only place. Test me. He knew how much we liked our finances. Develop integrity by number five, by doing your best at work. This is the business or vocational integrity. Integrity at work. Let me ask you a question. Do you do your best at work? Or do you work hard when the boss is watching and then slough off when he or she is gone? God is very serious about you and me giving a full day's work for a full day's pay. Y'all follow me? Or did y'all turn me off right here on this one? Guys, as Christians, we ain't got the right to goof off. We don't have the right to do that. Just because everybody else goofs off don't mean that we should. They may not be a follower of Christ. Maybe they're not interested in leaving a legacy of integrity. You know, some of you may have been in an office and some folks work. They work hard and some don't work at all. Whatever they do is irrelevant to what you got to do. It's irrelevant. You don't compare yourself to the others. Oh, I'm not doing it. They don't work as hard as I do. The Bible says even if you hate your job, that if you don't give a full day's work for a full day's pay, the Bible says you're actually vandalizing. The Bible says you're actually sabotaging your employer, sabotaging their company. It uses those words. Did you know that? Do your best at work. If you don't give it your best, you lack integrity. Colossians 3:23 says this, work hard and cheerfully at whatever you do, as though you are working for the Lord rather than people. If you're a believer, your boss isn't really your boss. God is your boss. He is your boss. He sees you at work. It's God's will that you don't waste the time of your employer. You don't waste the money of your company. Do you get that? We are to be the best. Colossians 3:22 even goes to me, even goes further. It says, don't you do the minimum just to get by. You know what the most famous quote at the post office was? Oh, that's not my job. That's not part of my job. He says, don't do just the minimum just to get by. Do your best. What if every Christian went to work Monday morning and did their best? Folks would be wanting to hire Christians then, wouldn't they? Number 6, develop integrity by being real with others. By being real with others. Stop pretending. Don't fake it. Stop wearing masks. Just don't be a hypocrite. You don't act one way at church, then another way on the field. See, y'all forgot I do the announcing on Friday nights. I've seen how some of you act. Stop acting one way at church and a different way at work. Always the same. Not perfect, but with your heart headed in the right direction. Headed in the right direction. 2 Corinthians 4:2 says this, we refuse to wear masks and play games. We don't maneuver and manipulate behind the scenes. And we don't twist God's word to suit ourselves. Rather, we keep everything we do and say out in the open. Don't try to be something that you're not. Be authentic. Don't fake it. Don't be a phony. Christians are into integrity, not image. I know it's a world absolutely obsessed with image. How do we keep it? How do we keep it real with so many folks faking it? You know, with so many worried about their image. There's only one way. You got to care more about God's approval than the approval of other people. If you care more about what God thinks, you're going to do the right thing. If you care more about what people think, then you're typically going to do the wrong thing. Proverbs 1:19:9. How can I keep my way pure? The answer says, by living according to your word. How? By living according to God's word, the Bible. Personally, if I don't have a daily quiet time, then I notice it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Now, if I don't have a daily quiet time for a week, Angie notices it. If I don't have a daily quiet time for a month, y'all notice it. It's important. It's important to have a daily quiet time. Now, I've taught this. This may be one of the hardest messages I've ever taught. Because when I finished it and looked down, and I had the blanks filled in. I saw it fail. Fail. I saw several failures that I'm currently committing. But someone once said that a confession to God is the beginning of God working in your life. If you're serious about being a person of integrity and wanting the blessings of God, you have to start by owning up that you may not have integrity in that area. That you just might not have it. Maybe you haven't always kept your promises. Maybe you haven't always paid your bills. Maybe you gossiped. That was one of them I failed in because I listened to it. Maybe you haven't always tithed. You might have paid bills with your tithing. Done your best at work. That's another one I failed in. I haven't always done my best. Maybe you haven't been real with others. I have to be careful. I'm a people pleaser. But the one little thing that I thought that I had under control is the one thing that brought me down. And one of these things that you think you've got under control is the one thing that's going to bring you down. This part where you're not exactly the same. There's a lack of integrity there. You see, sin may be personal, but it's never private. It's never private. Even if your spouse or your kids never know about it, it's still going to affect them. It's still going to affect, it's going to affect other people. Well, that's why we need a Savior. Jesus, we need Jesus. None of us are perfect. I was telling a 9 o'clock service that, and it's just who I am, but a few years ago, a man said he wanted to meet me after church, and he says, I'm going to get straight to the point. He says, Jim, I love your messages. He says, but at the end, you need some work. He says, you're not fiery enough. You don't get people to the altar. I think you should be more fiery. And I said, so let me get this right. You want me to be somebody else. I can't be anybody but me. I can't fake it. So all I can tell you today without being fiery is that wherever you're at, Jesus forgives you. He offers you grace and mercy. And if you're still breathing, the story's not over. It's not over. There is time to leave a legacy. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the conviction that you gave me. That there's some areas in my life that need working on. Lord, I wasn't perfect. But Lord, most of all, I thank you for the grace you gave me. And that you want me to be a man of integrity. And that you want me to leave that legacy to Angie and Sarah and Luke and my friends around me and now North Point. Even when it's not beneficial, even when the circumstances are hard, I'm supposed to keep my promise. I'm supposed to keep my word. If I say I'll be there, I better be there. Lord, that I won't spend more than I make. That I'll tithe. Now keep it real. That I'll always be real. That I'll never be fake. I pray this for my folks here that you've given me that as to be their pastor. Lord, I want them to be blessed. I want them to be people of integrity. I want them to be known as the greatest workers in their workplace. Lord, help us to be people of integrity. It's in your name we pray. Amen.